You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Les hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what Les is about.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Les hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast that's wicked queer. Although, as the West Coast lesbian now, I feel like I should be saying it's hella queer, but no, it's, I'm going,
no,
I'm staying
Lee,
true to my
East
roots.
Coast, you're an East Coast lesbian at heart,
yeah,
let's
but you can't
real.
Say wicked out here, it's, it doesn't work, so.
I know,
I'll say
I gotta
it
pull out
I
my
can.
Boston accent, dude. It's wicked
do
queer.
It. From the West Coast.
I can do it because I'm from Boston, okay?
Yes. You should. You've got like the authentic. I'd be faking it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who've been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. And if you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is somewhere that we can touch base every week about things going on in our lives, going on with the podcast, or just going on in the greater Les universe. So let's start with some of our upcoming events and trivia nights, because we've got a bunch of fun stuff planned. We have, starting with our famous couples party, that's going to be on February 21st, right after Valentine's Day, at Bella Luna in Boston.
And we also have a Wynonna Earp trivia night coming up in Boston on February 22nd. We have a lot of people signing up. We have people signing up as single players who are looking for teams. So even if you're by yourself, come hang out, meet some new ERPers. We would love to help connect you.
It's also only on season one, so even if you're new to the show, you still have time. You could binge that whole first season and be ready to go for trivia.
Oh, yeah. We're also hiring trivia hosts in other cities, so email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com if you're interested in hosting one.
We also are super pumped about the live shows that we have coming up this year. Our first one is going to be on Thursday, March 12th, LA. We are coming to you.
I am so excited.
We are so excited.
I've been dancing this whole time, just so you all know.
She has been, I can confirm. We are going to be at the Virgil at 7 p.m. March 12th. Buy your tickets early. They are $15 at presale. They will be $20 at the door. And we are super excited to announce our first guest that we are going to have. We'll be dropping names as we go, just to get you all a little bit more excited. But we are thrilled to announce this week that Ashley Perez is going to be joining us. You don't want to miss it. We're excited. You're excited. We're going to see you all there.
I am so excited. And if you want an easy way to get your tickets, you can go to bit.ly/lesla. And that's
easy.
Where your tickets will be to come
so
to
easy.
The best night of your LA lesbian lives. We also have our Toronto show coming up. I know it is much further in the future, but you need to plan for it. Friday, July 10th at Burdock Music Hall in Toronto starts at 6:30. And you do want to plan for it because they are $16 for tickets only until this Friday. And then after.
Better get them.
They're going up to $20, so you better get your tickets. Karen Knox and Gwen Cumin are going to be our guests. You know it is going to be an absolute riot. So make sure you get your tickets at bit.ly/LesToronto, and we're going to have a blast.
There you go. In the greater Les universe, there's also been a lot of stuff going on right now. So the first one, we are going to not dive into any controversy about the ballroom world or any of that. But we do feel like we should mention that Jamil came out as queer recently, somewhat under duress, I think. But, you know, we still think it's really important when you have women of color coming out and sharing their queer identities with the world. I know that that's still a really big deal. And I know that for a lot of our listeners, that's really important. So we just wanted to call that out and say, welcome, Jamila. We're happy to have you.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. And you know who else we've been happy to have for a very long time, but she made us even more happy this week? Kate McKinnon.
Always makes us happy.
A lesbian Frozen sketch. And I like to say, Kate, are you listening to the show? She's like, oh, I got this sketch idea from this podcast that I listen to every day on my commute to the city.
We'll take just a shout out. We don't even need royalties or anything.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah. But she did a sketch where, you know, Elsa was super gay, and we're all for it because Elsa is gay.
Super gay.
Yeah. And that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to be bringing you episode 10 of season 3, Wicked Queer, with Beza Borchak and Kimya Montero from the Wicked Queer Film Festival in Boston.
Thank you so much for joining us, Beza and Kimya.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'm going to give you all of our listeners, a quick overview of who Beza and Kimya are. Beza joined Wicked Queer 2 years ago as a communications manager and festival programmer. She curated her first shorts program, the Queer Muslim Shorts, which saw big attention from the festival audience. And Kimya's diving into their fifth consecutive year as a member of Wicked Queer. They also just took on the position of associate director for the Melanin Pride Film Festival, which is held in October annually. Quite the resume for these two. So we are so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much.
So can you both, you can decide who or one at a time, tell us a little bit more about Wicked Queer.
Wicked Queer is a all-volunteer-run film festival, which is going to be celebrating its 36th year in 2020. So it's one of the oldest queer film festival in the country and in East Coast, and it has a very lovely, diverse programming team that includes Kimya.
I know you can't see Kimya in our audience, but they're doing a beautiful dance for diversity.
Yes.
Dance for diversity, everyone.
Yay. And we gather every year around July or August and start getting submissions, and then we watch films.
I was going to ask you, how do you decide? That must be a lot of media to watch.
For me, it's been kind of like a process. Like, I was really, I think, a little nice the first year, and I remember my executive director being like, girl, and I was like, not a girl, but he's like, you need to like really tighten the rope. So he was like, I give it about 10 seconds each. I was like, 10 seconds? Like, I feel like I was like almost like crushing people's dreams, you know, like even though like it didn't turn out that great, like they probably spent like years on these films. I felt like really heartbreaking. You start to get a little bit more cutthroat in your selections.
What you're both saying is you do all the hard work so that you bring us the best things at the film festival.
Yeah, yep. We and all the others in the team, because it takes months for us to go through all the submissions. We just like do the last call around January, February, usually when we decide on, like, we gather in a meeting and just like clash ideas and all these like different charts and schedules and everything to pick things and put them all up together.
It's a lot of work, but it takes a village.
How many volunteers are working with Wicked Queer right now?
I think in the immediate team, we have about 10, 15 folks.
I mean, it's a lot of people, but it's not really that much for the amount of stuff you are watching. Jeez.
Yeah, everyone watches a lot of things. And then we gather maybe like once a month. And then in January, we start gathering like twice a month or maybe more to to go through things.
Actually, we really start meeting on like almost like a bi-monthly basis starting as early as July. It's about like an 8-month long process to put together the film festival every year.
So you really have to like everyone on your team, right? For all of that. No, you're like, no comment, but
it's like
no.
A family, we have our things.
I mean, for a volunteer position, that's a lot of work. Because I've attended Wicked Queer events. I obviously am a curator of queer media as well. Love to watch a good queer film. And it's very, very well put together. As a consumer of what you do, I want to say thank you as volunteers, because I know that that is a shit ton of work to put together this stuff that is very important for our community, just as a thank you.
I'm curious, on that note, can you tell us a little bit, both of you, about how you got involved? How did you find Wicked Queer? How did you start volunteering or get to where you are now with the organization?
I'll start off. So actually, our previous executive director, James Nadeau, it was his... So I was like a full-time bartender at this time, and his ex-partner, like, he came in, got his like meniscus pour martini, like clockwork at 6 o'clock every night. And we got to know each other. And one day he was like, I want you to meet my partner. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I don't really know if I'm into that type of party like today, but, and he was like, no, like you guys should just meet. And honestly, that's how I was brought into the film festival 5 years ago.
I didn't know that.
Cool.
I'm just learning.
You don't know anything about me, babe.
You must make a really...
Yeah.
You must make a really good martini, Kimya.
They're really good.
I do.
For me, I'm originally from Istanbul, Turkey, and I was here as an exchange student for like a year in 2011. And Queer Film Festival was the first thing that I looked when I came to Boston. And I attended as like a, back then it was Boston LGBT Film Festival, and I attended as an audience. And then I went back home and then came back for here, like moving for good. And Wicked Queer was my first project to just be part of. I love films and everything, and I always wanted to be part of a film festival. And I didn't think that it was going to be this easy, but they were super
easy.
Yeah, I came as like a volunteer, just thinking that I would be ushering people. And then I found myself as like communications person the next day. Okay. But like, that's all because I think the team is really welcoming and kind of trust people and their, you know, interest, and kind of like really encouraging as well.
I have a question. Kimya, were you a part of Wicked Queer when it changed from Boston LGBT Film Festival?
100%.
Were you a part of that conversation? I'm just curious, like what was the decision to change it? How did it come about?
So actually it changed like going into my second year. I was very vocal about that LGBT film festival being a very like stagnant title. I thought it was very dated. I thought honestly the film festival in general is very dated, and I wouldn't say like I was the main reason that it switched over to Wicked Queer, but I was very vocal and very behind that argument of I thought queer for me, that was the first term that really made any sense for me kind of like coming into this community. And I thought it was just the most inclusive term that we could use as far as an LGBTQ film festival.
Yeah, I mean, I think the name now is definitely feels more umbrella for sure.
And very, very
so yeah, I was
Boston.
Just curious. Yes.
I didn't vote for the wicked part, just the queer part. But as you can tell, like I don't have an accent even though I was born and raised here. But
where are you from?
I'm from here.
What part?
Plymouth, Cape Cod.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
I'm from Dorchester, born and raised, so.
Good old Dot.
Yes, I'm always about, like, when people are like, I'm from Boston, and then I'm like, are you really, though? So.
Yeah, for the name, although it is really inclusive, and I love the name, like, both Wicked and Queer part, we have some also, like, people coming up. In last film festival, I had this lady coming up to me, and she was, like, really sad about the name change, and she didn't like queer.
Yeah, there's definitely a generational aspect to it, I think.
I love the name, but we also get some like, why did it change and blah, blah.
Well, we get that as well, honestly. I mean, we you know, have certainly gotten
feedback.
You
can't please everybody.
You can't. And I think it is something that, especially for kind of like our generation and younger, I think queer is a very inclusive umbrella term. But it's certainly something that we know, you know, I feel like generationally, I think a lot of older, older queer folks don't really
appreciate
that label as much. And
it had a much different connotation back in the day, and I totally understand that and respect that.
But it's more about reclaiming it. Even like if I post something on Facebook, like on our social media that says queer, like Facebook's guidelines won't let me like promote it
because they think
they're
it's derogatory.
Like, oh, you can't. It's a derogatory term. Like still in. It's tricky, but I agree. I like it more, like in terms of identity.
Right, but it's like, you know, but you think about it, it's like 30 years ago when that term was derogatory, there wasn't a film festival. So like, just think about the progress.
Right.
For me, you know, I'm just like, ugh.
Yes.
Like,
well, while we're saying that, so Beza, I loved you saying that when you came as an exchange student, the first thing you did was look up Queer Film Festival. Why was that, and what is it about queer film festivals that felt so like so important to you?
In Istanbul, I'm a big festival goer. Like, I love films and used to go film festivals, and that's something like an LGBTQ film festival or a queer film festival is something that I didn't have back home. And when I came here, I think both because it's a film festival and I was hoping to have some, you know, queer content on the big screen. So that was the first thing. And it really is like finding other people who's like crazy about movies as much as I do is also something that, like, you know, creating that, having that community. I think that's why I like, that was the first thing that I looked.
Beza is also like the gayest person in the world and like the best, like the best way though. She, like, she makes Elton John look straight. It's crazy. She is the gayest thing. I love it.
Beza's gonna put that on her website. Like, I make Elton John straight.
Yeah, I think that goes on your business cards.
Are you the same way, Kimya? Are you like, do you like bleed queer?
I mean, like, look at me. Like, I think recently I really not just like talk to talk, but walk to walk, and just like feeling a comfort of just like not fitting in really anywhere. I really have like embraced my queerness, I think, in the past, like probably like 5 or 6 years or so, like fully. And just like not just wanting to like stand out, but like really like getting behind it politically. I don't know. I mean, like, I make it pretty clear.
Yeah.
If you don't know, now you know. But like, you know, it takes like a lot of like, you know, strength and personal growth to really stand behind it as much as like a lot of people do. It's been a journey, and I'm just continuing on that.
Yeah, totally get that. So let's dig into the specific parts of the film festival that you are both very involved in. So Beza, you curated the Queer Muslim Short series. What was the process like to bring that up to the team and start pushing that through?
I think one of the things that like is important for us to be able to curate short films, like a program, is if we get the content for it. So last year, when we were going through the submissions, one of the recurring theme was a lot of queer Muslim stories from the Middle East or from US. And as a queer Muslim person myself, I was really excited to see all those stories and different storytelling versions of like identity in that struggle. And so I started putting them all like on the side as a list, hoping that we would have enough material to choose from together, because like if it's only 3 or 5, you can't really curate something, but we had enough to choose from. And when I said to the team, it's like, oh, we are getting a lot of these kind of submissions and I want to curate something, they were super open to the idea. And I think that was probably how it all gathered.
So from how many submissions did you sort of whittle it down?
Over 10. Also, like, one of the things that I was really kind of anxious about, we only had one lesbian story. It was a nice program and we had a lot of like great feedback. People were like asking, oh, is this going to happen again? People wanted to like show it to their friends. That program was a moneymaker for the whole film festival as well. It was one of the most sold out and attended program, which showed that people want diversity. People want to see different voices and see different stories on the big screen.
You mentioned that you also were involved with film festivals back in Istanbul. Is there a lot of like queer Muslim filmmaking going on there as well?
I mean, there's a big queer community in Turkey and especially in Istanbul. And for the past couple of years, there has been a queer film festival as well. But I wouldn't necessarily tell that the Muslim and queer identity is that much pressing in Turkey. But yeah, there are stories, there are different feature films that is happening that goes around those identities or like living in a patriarchal society. Especially, but these kind of stories, things that I haven't seen as much before, like I felt like, oh, really related to the stories that I showed on the screen, which was really good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was telling you before we recorded, but for everyone listening, I watched some of the videos. Beza sent us some screeners, and there was one in particular called Brothers that I was on the couch, curled up in a ball, bawling my eyes out. It was so beautiful. And it's all about, you know, family, obviously, like a Muslim family, Muslim brothers, and the difference between the one heterosexual brother and how he's treated in the family, and then the gay brother and their relationship. And I found that watching the shorts, there was a pretty common thread of family and how those expectations affect queer Muslims, which I think a lot of people can also relate to. But I don't know if you could speak a little bit to just the experience of being a queer Muslim person and the family aspect, how that really ties in.
I just realized that I'm not using actually the word lesbian, but I really like favorably use the word lesbian when I identify myself and like
oh, so queer. Do we.
Yeah. Surprise. Yeah, I did this like Lesbians United poster for this pride with like lesbian on it in 40 different languages. So
that's awesome.
I identify as queer as well, so I use them interchangeably. But I think in Middle Eastern or like that side of the world or like Muslim culture, family is really important. I think queer identity is really hard to handle. Like LGBTQ identities are really hard to handle in Muslim culture and also Middle Eastern culture, which is really patriarchal, regardless of religion as well. And it's just like there's a shame attached to it. And your relationship with your parents and elders are really important as part of the culture. So you can't really like deny your family and like go like, I'm this, you know, like you want to keep that relationship. So it's just creates a lot of like identity crisis and like, what am I going to do situation? I think that's why probably. And for Brothers, I was also crying very like I watched that 5 times and I still cry each time because it just makes me feel, you know, like that little hope in the end, being reunited with the family. I think that's like something that I feel really hopeful for as well. And yeah, probably that's why. It's just family is really important, but your identity is also important. And you have to, like, in a situation to choose in between them, but you can't really do it. So it's just...
It was very intense. But, yeah, I think I would also watch it many times. I mean, it's the same with the other... A little different, but You Deserve Everything, which is more about marriage, right? And those expectations. Do you see any, like, parallels between your experience as a QPOC and the Muslim experience?
I mean, individually, I think, you know, Beza and I have, you know, somewhat similar, but somewhat pretty different, like almost like polar opposite experiences, almost in terms of the facts of like, I wouldn't want to, like, you know, like, I have a very, very accepting family. However, being a person of color in Boston is far and away, like, challenging, to say the least. But then I would never want to, like, really experience that, what Beza has to go through of, like, literally kind of, like, having to, not, like, live, like, this lie, but really having to, like, keep part, this huge part of her life. It really is like everything about her, like separate from her feeling because of cultural standards. And I think, you know, me specifically, me coming from my specific family is not like definitive of the Black community in general, because I do think that being queer is very taboo. And I don't think it should, as much as I don't think it should be, you know, that is really just a fact. So like my specific experience is not really like a blanket experience, if that makes any sense. But that's why I have put so much time and energy and thoughtfulness into this QPOC program, because this visibility means everything to me.
Like what particular, like on screen, what visibility to you was the most impactful? Like, was there one movie you saw that you were like, this is so, like, me on screen?
I don't know if I thought it was so much me on screen. I did the opening short, Ladies Day, which is the British short, which, you know, it's super fun. It was really light. It resonated with me, like, you know, like the Black experience, especially, like, the experience of going to a hair salon. And kind of like that, it really is almost like going to see a therapist. Because, well, Black people don't like to go to therapy, but I do. You know, you really do have a relationship with your hairstylist. And it really is a very like intimate relationship that you have. It's not just like you go for a cut, boom, boom, boom. It's a very, you know, it's a long process. You're usually taking something out, whether it's extensions or braids or whatever. It's a very like intimate experience. And you tend to just, this person's in your head for 6 hours, so like tend to get to know them. So that really resonated with me. The audience favorite from that series was Pony Boy, which I remember the first time I saw that film, and I absolutely fell in love. It's still to this day probably one of the best shorts that I've ever seen, and I was so thrilled to have it in my program. I can't really relate to the story too much, but I just thought it was honestly such a beautiful depiction of, you know, like this non-binary, transgender, like Mexican-American, just, it was just beautiful.
Can you give like a quick overview of it for our listeners who haven't seen it?
Okay, so Pony Boy, it follows the story of a young, you know, like Mexican-American, I think it takes place like down like Texas or something, yeah, intersects. This character has multi-layers, multifaceted, and it just really follows this beautiful story of everyone in the town, like, you know, like knows who this person is, but is really like sought after as far as like, you know, like the boyfriend of like her Pony Boy's friend. Pony Boy is fucking him. I'm sorry, language. But, like,
yeah, you can, oh, around. You're fine.
We're good.
You're fine. Great.
You know, and like has, it's really like this like sought after commodity in this town where obviously they're very, very probably right winged. And it's just, yeah, it just really just follows that, like, you know, the sadness, the, like the ups and downs, the beauty behind like how amazing this person is, but like they're completely taboo. It's such a beautiful, beautiful short.
But what I love is it's a queer film festival, obviously, but I also think that there's something that's really awesome about seeing like specific intentionality placed towards like intersectional identities, you know? Basically, you can be a lesbian, and like that's one thing, but it's not enough to just say like, okay, so like cast me in a movie and like I'm also a lesbian, but like that's not gonna be the representation of you that you're looking for, you know? And I think same thing for you, Kimya, is like, you know, A, what you're talking about in terms of like your specific experience as a queer person of color. But I think something that's also very true for a lot of people, like, you know, non-binary identities or any sort of like gender fluid identity, that's not really as common in a lot of like, even, you know, especially like the big
mainstream
media.
Lesbian films.
So I think there's just something really awesome about having like really dedicated spaces for like being more specific about also other things that play into what is our identity and like what shapes us and like frames our stories, you know?
It's really interesting you brought that up, because like honestly in this past year I think I've kind of like almost found somewhat of like an answer to that, because like a lot of people like are just like, oh, there's not really like a lot of like, you know, non-binary people of color. And it's, I realized for myself personally, because people of color have less of a safe space in this world to even explore those identities. Like, people think I came out late, but I was like, I had to get comfortable with being a person of color and learn how to navigate this world as a person of color before I could even, like, touch the surface of my sexual identity or my gender identity. Mm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
On that note, so because I think we have to ask, what was the first time for both of you, or has there been a time that you really saw yourself on screen? I mean, especially for two people for whom film and media is so important, what was the first time that you kind of remember watching something and saying, like, hey, hang on a second, that's me?
I don't think I have.
So if you haven't, I'm curious, are you a filmmaker or you just are a film lover?
I'm a film, I don't know how this happened to me, but I'm just doing it. Like,
okay. So
a film, here I am. I love it.
If you haven't seen it yet, what would a movie about that represented you? Like, what would that character be like?
Oh boy. Yeah, I guess I really do have I consider myself to be kind of a unicorn. So maybe it would be a story about like an animation film about a unicorn that was like wearing a blazer and like ripped jeans and maybe a bow tie.
It is not a movie, but there's a kid's book. I have two kids now, and so we're kind of in this huge search for like books, like kids books that are super inclusive and like, you know, covering a lot of topics. But there's this really awesome book that you should totally check out. It's called Not Quite Narwhal by Jesse Sima. Sima. I'm not sure how the name is pronounced, but it's called Not Quite Narwhal. It is the cutest thing that I think I've ever seen. We walked past it in a Barnes & Noble. It's about a unicorn who is raised by narwhals.
Let's go way back, okay?
Yes, let's go back. Sorry.
You're like, okay, really?
This is why it made me think of it, because it's a unicorn who's raised by narwhals, right? But, like, doesn't really ever fit in with the narwhals and is sort of like, I'm not a great narwhal, and then swims up to the surface and, like, swims over to land and then sees all these unicorns playing, right? Yeah. And is like, maybe I'm a land narwhal, and like totally kind of fits in a little bit with the unicorns as well. But what I love about it is it's like, it's not like the unicorn goes and finds other unicorns and then is like, I'm just a unicorn. It's kind of like, but maybe I'm also a little bit
of
narwhal.
That's right.
Also a land narwhal with the unicorns, but like maybe I'm a little bit of both and I don't really have to like only be one or the other. But it's also just, it's really cute. It's really well illustrated. It's has no real bearing on this other than you just said that and it made me think of it. And it's really adorable.
No, that sounds like really, really actually dead on. But I think, you know, the original question is a very like, you know, this existential, like huge thing to like really think about. And like,
I'm not saying it's going to fix your representation issues.
Right. I was like, you know,
but it is cute.
This year has been like a very transformative year for me. And I kind of feel like a toddler as far as like kind of like figuring out exactly how much like self-awareness I really have about everything about my identity. So
I feel like also we're always like changing like what that is. Like, so
I look cute, whatever.
How about you, Beza? When was one of the first times you feel like you've really seen yourself represented on screen in some way?
For me, like, films has always been like ways to figure out who I am. Like, I fall in love with Julia Roberts in early ages in my life watching her films. So that was like not seeing myself, but like realizing about my feelings.
Learning about yourself.
Yeah. Learning about myself, a big learning experience. Still to this day, I keep my feelings for her as fresh as the first day.
It's hard to get past those early crushes, you know?
Right? No, never. It's not a crush. It's just love. Love of my life. I think films in that way is like was tool for me to figure out myself. And then I don't know if like a direct representation, but when I came out, I was like watching a lot of lesbian films and movies, and I think the L word was like one of the first things that I was like, oh yeah, I'm learning a like my culture.
It was so bad, but we all watched
it. Was, yeah,
yes. So bad.
Like, yes. Isn't it so good?
Oh,
as well?
God, I've seen it, but we've all seen it 20 million times.
I know.
Well, because even since then, there literally has been nothing like it. Like, if we had something else to replace it, like, or to even, like, compare it to, we could be like, here.
That's my dilemma. Yeah. I'm just like, there is, like, take that minority a couple steps further. Like, I don't see it.
Yeah, but, like even for myself, yes. Like, maybe, like, not a Muslim identity, but, like, coming out in, like, Turkey, in Istanbul, Turkey, and, like, not having anything, and then, like, still being able to download those, like, seasons and being able to watch and, like, learn a lot of, like, things, I think, or like seeing that representation on screen was like one of the first things. And then I don't know, there were like a couple of Muslim lesbian films, but not necessarily representing me, but like I Can't Think Straight, I think one of those films. And then in the recent years, I think there are like more representation, like the TV show The Bold Type had a Muslim lesbian character in it.
Oh, we are well aware.
I kind of like have the bold ups type. And downs with the character herself, but also I think it's good. And then Signature Move was a good movie. I don't know if you have watched it. It was 2 years ago opening film for the film festival Wicked Queer. And that is like one of really exciting moments for me to see a similar identity. I think if I see a Turkish Muslim lesbian person on screen, that will be like the most close as it gets. But at the same time, I find similar enough identities on screen to feel like, oh, this really represents me and my identity. Also,
yeah, different
like
parts
not
of yourself.
Queer cinema, but I don't know if you heard about Rami on Hulu, about this Muslim person of color growing up in the United States and his kind of like relationship with his identity and being a Muslim and person of color in the United States. And there's a funny part in there where he sleeps with another a Muslim woman who's married, and then his father figures out, and then there's this like huge fight because it's totally not okay. But at the end of the conversation, his father says, at least you are not gay. And that's like, you know, like like you're still not doing any like something that is right and like okay in the religion. It's still not like it's sin or like haram or whatever, but at least you're not gay. Go to sleep. Like that's really, really, really resonates in the culture as well.
For the film festival moving forward, like, what do you want to see next film festival? Have you already started watching some shorts? You don't have to tell us exactly, but are there some, like, things you're excited about?
Just to, like, reiterate, we open up submissions in July the year before, so that's when we start, like, prepping. As far as the shorts programs, it's like, you know, we like to have, like, a couple, like, set in stone, like, women's, men's, international. But the rest of them, it really does depend on what kind of submissions we get. Like, if I don't see enough, like, POC, like, good submissions coming in, I'm not going to make a program. I'm not going to stand behind that. We happen to get a ton of queer, you know, these amazing queer Muslim shorts in last year. So we were able to make that program that was wildly successful. It sold out. So was the QPOC program. But it's not because that pool that we're picking from as far as our submissions and the availability of good shorts, these kind of miscellaneous shorts programs are not a guarantee, unfortunately. I hope we continue to get really good QPOC films. We had another program called Senior Moments for Elders last year, and it was amazing. Mm. It's like, that's not a guarantee.
But also that name, though.
Isn't that adorable?
Love it.
It's the best thing ever. Like, that's the greatest.
Jojo, our coworker, he is like the king of dad jokes. So he came up with that name, and I was like, that makes sense.
Look, we have a podcast called Let's Hang Out, and we always say, like, our aesthetic, every episode is like a pun or something, like, we always say our aesthetic is like lesbian Blues Clues. Oh, so I am so here for that. So here for it.
The dad jokes, yeah.
Blues Clues! Okay.
I have a question for you as you're talking about that. So, number one, are submissions still open?
Yeah, so we currently have 316 submissions, but we happen to get more after the New Year's. I think there's this like Berlinale, and there are a couple of film festivals, and if people can't make it those big ones, they happen to like send their submissions to us. So now it's like 300, but it's going to be more like more than 500, 600 probably. And we have a system how we flag them: green, yellow, red, blah blah. It goes and leave comments. So it's like we're gathering a pool of greens right now, and then yellows are like, I need someone else to watch, and then hopefully we'll get through all of them. And
I don't understand the flag system getting... 5 years later. I just say yes or no. I'm like,
yeah. for the submissions this year, I think making the diverse programming had like kind of like its own fame. We're getting a lot of queer Muslim submissions this year. And also, like, of course, we're not limited with the submissions. We can always go and like look for other film festivals and like send emails to films if we want to curate them. But because we're not that big of a team and like our time is like, we have full-time jobs. So like, usually it's not really possible for us to like go out and seek more. But with the ones that we got, I think we will have good programs this year as well. We're getting a lot of Asian films this year, a lot of films from Thailand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about Tomatoes and Eggs.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Actually, that one wasn't like nobody really wanted me to put that in the shorts program. And I was like, I love that film. Like,
I loved it too.
That's just really random because, like, Katie was like, I hated it. Like, who's our director of programming? And I was just like, Katie and I either see eye to eye or, like, we don't get along. no, Katie's one of my really, I'm actually at her house right now.
She's like, I'm right here.
Yeah.
sorry, what did you want to say about Tomatoes and Eggs, though?
I think, like, there is, we've done a whole episode on Saving Face. Yep. Do you know that film? Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's also, I think, very limited, like, Asian LGBTQ rep. Yeah. But same thing, like, the familial thread is, like, very strong with that as well. So that Tomatoes and Eggs reminded me a bit of some of the other Muslim shorts. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, I think, a few cultural similarities. Obviously, it's not completely the same. But, yeah, and I just thought it was such an interesting story of, like, gay daughter, gay dad, and like the way that they interact with each other.
Well, I mean, like, you know, especially a lot of like Asian speaking countries, like, you know, they come from this like collectivist society where like it's just about, you know, it's more about, instead of making themselves happy, it's like, how can I make my family happy? And like that kind of trickles down. So like from a cultural standpoint, I really get it. And it's just like, it's really like, instead of like making, you know, living my life authentically, it's almost like I need to put my family first. And that's, I really understand that. Like, I really don't have like a lot of like American like values or like morals or ethics as far as like American. I think more generally speaking, probably like more like a person from like a collective society. So like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that theme, I think, I mean, you mentioned there are differences, but I think it's probably really close to Middle Eastern and Muslim culture as well, as far as family goes and those relationship goes. And like, you're representing your family, you're representing your family's honor, especially females. And, you know, it's important to make them happy rather than like you being happy without the family, kind of. Yeah, and I just remembered one of the submissions that we're getting a lot of lesbian documentaries this year from all sorts of different parts of the country about like history of different groups, lesbian groups that like gather together in very like Republican or like kind of red states, and how they had this like one night that they would gather together, and that created this whole community there. There are like a couple of documentaries like that. And if it's going to happen, we will do two of those together at one screening. Because last year, Dykes Camera Action got a lot of attention as well. And it was like one of the screenings. And it was also the screening where I got the person complaining about our name. But still.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Yeah. I have one other question too. You're talking about like the flag system and you're like, oh, some stuff doesn't go through. If we have any filmmakers, which I know we have some people who listen who are, you know, making lesbian web series or like trying to make low budget content maybe, but how does content set itself apart as a filmmaker?
For me, honestly, like, I don't care about the quality if the content is there.
The story, yeah.
I've put like, you know, like next to each other HD quality films like that are seamless, like next to like really grainy, like I probably was shot like an iPhone. I don't know, like, or it looks like security footage from 7-Eleven, but it's like whatever. Like, but like it was an amazing.
But there were lesbians in that 7-Eleven, and that's well,
there were lesbians like saying doing something and saying a story worth telling. That's fine. Yeah. Perfectly fine with me.
I agree with Kimya on that too. And I think like if the story is really powerful, but like if there's a problem with the sound or something, we always like write back to the filmmaker and say like, can you just fix this? I think on top, if like the acting is bad, you know, like we get like really high quality, yeah, production things. And then the acting is just so bad. You can't even go through it. And it's just like worth of, you know, not worth to have
but
it.
We also do feature like every year a different web series as well, so you kind of like specifically yeah. mentioned that, and it's like, so if anybody has a web series out there, contact us, because we always choose our favorite web series to showcase every year.
We have some people we can send your way.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Katie, our programming director, she's most like really interested in web series, and she goes out of her way and like yeah. out of the submissions and find content online. And we also always, like, we had some queer Muslim or, like, other people writing, and then we give them a code to submit their films without having to pay, like, it's $5, but still, like, having to pay that fee and just submit, because it really is, like, what is important for the film festival yeah. and for us is just catching those really important, really well-told stories. And it just doesn't matter who did it and how they did it, kind of.
Queer life in a nutshell. Well, we can't wait to see what you pick for this year.
I think it's time for a Q and Gay.
Is it that time?
All right, let's do this.
Q and Gay.
So I will start us off with question one. Might be a little bit of a gimme, but have you ever been to an LGBTQ film festival? Yes or yeah. no?
You're like, we plan the whole thing and we don't show up.
I try not to.
Can't see Kimya on that week, yeah.
All right, question number two. And you can do a write-in for this as well, but I just have a few options. So what's your favorite QPOC film? A, Moonlight, B, Rafiki, C, Bessie, or D, Naza Malik?
Rafiki.
Moonlight.
Ooh. Nice. Did you see Rafiki when it was in Boston?
We got it as a submission, and because it was so popular, we didn't show that.
Yeah.
Like, until it was our film festival, it was, like, old.
That makes
but
sense.
I watched it in the submissions, like, screener, and I was really excited about it.
Yeah, it was awesome. I saw it when they had the director in
yeah,
town.
I missed that one.
It was really cool. No.
Okay, question three. Now, for our counterpoint question, what's your favorite queer Muslim film? And again, write-ins are welcome. A, Out of Iraq, B, Signature Move, or C, Priya?
Signature Move.
Signature Move, yeah.
You're like, easy.
I know, right? That was very fast.
I don't think I like Out of Iraq. It's a documentary, right?
Yeah.
Last year, they submitted that, and I didn't like it. Didn't program it.
We won't tell them. It's okay.
That's okay.
I think I was high when I watched it. I was really paranoid, so.
So
I don't recommend.
Debatable.
Yeah.
Question number four. Have you ever been an undercover queer?
Ladies' Day.
Oh, yes. Ladies' Day, when she's undercover queer in the hair salon. There's a lot of undercover queers in these shorts.
I mean, probably.
Yes. A big yes from my side.
Hey, roomie. What's up?
Yeah, I had many girlfriends come into my parents' house, and they were all my friends.
Yep.
There you go. Yes, just gals being pals. We know how that goes. Question five. So this is in relation to the
Candace,
about two childhood friends going to college, one of them in love with the other one. So were you ever in love with a childhood best friend?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course. For years.
Like, were you or still are?
I feel like it sounds like we could do a whole separate podcast episode just on those stories, right?
Yeah.
No, I actually had my mom dying the other day because I was like, Mom, that whole whole time, like in like middle school and high school, you were like, no boy sleeping over. And I was like, that whole time I played the hell out of you with like all my girlfriends. you're like, yes, Chris is staying again. I'm like, one week straight. Like,
oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, no dude staying over. I don't want him to stay over either. It's fine.
Yeah. Just following the rules. That's all.
I had the longest platonic relationship with my straight high school best friend. So,
yeah. Very relatable.
We've been there. It's fine. Ellie took hers to prom, so don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Twice.
That's amazing.
As friends.
Yeah. And we held hands the whole time as friends.
Wait, how old are you guys?
I'm 27.
I'm 32.
I actually was at prom last year. No.
Yeah.
I'm I know I do look young though, so sometimes people are like, wait, what?
And I look like I am going to prom next year, so yes, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's good. With two children.
Yeah.
I'll take
the babies to prom. It'll
teen
be a
lesbian
great
mom.
Time. Teen lesbian mom.
I would watch that show. Yeah.
I want to know, like, was it planned? Like, it's like a teen lesbian mom pact? Because, like, you have to plan it.
Yeah, right.
There's no accident.
That would be very interesting. All right, submitting to next year's Wicked Queer Teen Lesbian Moms.
And on that note, remember you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Les Hangout Pod. And speaking of Twitter, where can our listeners find you both? Where can they find Wicked Queer Film Festival? Drop all the hot social media handles on
us. If you'd rather people not follow you, that's okay too.
You can find Kimya.
I'll tell them everything.
You can find Kimya by coming to Film Festival. They don't have social media.
No social media.
Because they can't handle it.
Probably so much
or
healthier.
They're too good for social media.
There you
they're,
go.
Nobody said that. I social media, like, there's no trigger warning, and I have anxiety, and, like, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
That is 100% valid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people can find Kimya at the Queer People of Color Shorts program.
Beza can forward it to me.
There you go.
Thank you.
We'll send a dove out in the skies to search for you with messages.
Unlike Kimya, I'm super easy to find. There are not many Bezas in Boston. Beza Burchak is like no-brainer everywhere. For Wicked Queer, it's Wicked Queer. So if people Google or search Wicked Queer on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we're all on there. If they would like to subscribe to our newsletter, they can go to wickedqueer.org and subscribe for the newsletter. We don't really send too many emails, but around the film festival, we send one a day. So
you can email me directly at kimmy@wickedqueer.org. I do also want to like shamelessly plug my new film festival, Melon and Pride Film Festival, which is going to take place from October 9th to 11th every single year. So next year, exact same time, it's going to be focusing on QPOC, specifically non-binary. I partnered it with Shania from Lux Collective in Boston, the Lesbians of Color Symposium. It is amazing, and it's giving visibility to the underrepresented. Come out and see it.
Cool. That's awesome.
And Wicked Queer is coming up in just a couple months. Can you give our listeners a little bit of information about when that's happening this year and how they can be involved?
Wicked Queer's 36th year this year will happen starting from April 2nd till April 12th. Our opening night is going to be on April 2nd. It's a Thursday, and Film Festival goes 10 days at MFA, Brattle Theater, and Paramount in downtown. We're also always open to like different venues, so we might have a different menu for this year, but for now, those are the three venues that we have. We will have events going towards. We have a brunch 2 weeks before the film festival starts to just give a preview of the film festival and things that are coming up in there and to get together with our audience. And then we have kind of like weekend gatherings to talk about films and different things. So, yeah.
Yes, it's not just a weekend. It is all day, every day. Last year we did 169 films in 12 days. if you have got a day off in the middle of the week, like, if it's during that block of time, there's going to be plenty of films to come see. So come on out. Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This has been awesome.
Yay! Thank you, guys. This was fun.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 well, yeah.
We love hearing from you and building our community, so we want to shout out some of our favorite things each episode. I would like to personally shout out this incredible life coach on Instagram who came to our Denver trivia night and DM'd us saying they made a lot of new friends and they all made plans to snowshoe together, which is the most Denver thing they could ever do.
It really is.
But I'm just happy that we can get some queer folks together to go snowshoeing. So I hope you have a wonderful time and send us pics.
Yes. Oh my God, please. We also wanted to shout out listener Daryl, who emailed us a video so inspired by our Cadet Kelly episode, emailed us a video of Christy Carlson Romano watching herself back in Cadet Kelly, which was just perfect. Amazing. You should check it out.
We also would like to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Lizette Stye,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jess Klaus,
Danny Griswold,
Sarah and Julia,
Carrie Ann Lawrence,
Mark Foster,
Danny Gunlock Tamora,
Sammy Walsh,
Audrey O'Connor,
Wendy K. Bartlett,
and Brittany Ray. And as always, we have to thank our faves, King Princess patrons, Kayla Kelly,
and Amy and Ellen. I actually just went to a King Princess concert last weekend, so I'm feeling a lot of King Princess love. Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Les Hangout Pod.
You can send us an email at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe, and that way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up.
We're also posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
If you want to help support the podcast, there are so many ways that you can do that. You can rate and review us on iTunes. A, we love reading the reviews, and B, it helps new people find the podcast.
Or if you want to help support us financially so we can do all of the amazing queer gay things that we do, like travel to LA or Toronto to come see you live, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon. You get a bunch of perks like watch parties, drinking game rules, and just hanging out with us online. So we would love to see you there. bit.ly/lespatreon.
You can also get some Les Hangout swag. We've got so many designs. We try to have new ones coming out, and you can check all of those out. Get them on shirts, get them on hoodies, get them on mugs, get them on all sorts of cool stuff. You can find them at bit.ly/lesshop.
And just another reminder that we do have 2 live shows coming up, so make sure you get your tickets to our live shows, 1 in LA and 1 in Toronto. We would love to see you all there.
If you want to follow us individually, the best place to find me is on Instagram and Twitter at LSH Foster.
And the best place to find me is at Ellie Brigida on Instagram and Twitter. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee. And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.